This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Craig Hoffman.
Good job to do, Craig. Can't be comfortable.
That's not true.
The Hoffman Show.
This is radio.
That wasn't me talking.
The people here at Eastern are just lucky we're wearing pants.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Chat's been a little lively today. I see y'all in there yapping at each other. Maybe I'll jump in. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Also, just realized my hair's out of control. That's a fun thing when you're on video. Settle down up there. All right. So Fridays, we always give you a little bit of Take Command, the podcast, of course, that I do with the one and only Logan Paulson. We dive into the tape review style on Tuesdays, preview style on Thursdays. If you want the full podcast, you, of course, just search Take Command in your favorite podcast app. But in lieu of today's Not My Beat, a preview of the Commanders offense versus the Browns defense from our preview pod. Without further ado, voila, here we go. All right, so how does it look for Jaden Daniels and company on the field against Cleveland? A Browns defense led, of course, by Myles Garrett. They are very aggressive. They got a lot of blitzes that they'll throw at you. But I think that there's some opportunities after watching them on tape, Logan. Like I do think that there is a possibility, and I can lay this out depending on how this conversation goes. If you don't lay it out, like, I think there's a scenario where Jaden Daniels goes for 300 yards and like has a heck of a day. There's also a situation where it goes all horribly wrong. Like the swath of outcomes here feels incredibly wide. What do you see when you watch him though? And how do you think that Cliff starts to think about attacking them?
Yeah, I think you see a defense that was, and you understand why last year they were maybe the most talented defense in football. They have a lot of pieces on the defensive line. Obviously, Myles Garrett. They've got Za'Darius Smith. They've got Obo Okorokwo. They've got Isaiah McGuire, guys that are really good, consistent pass rushers. They've got Alex Wright, a guy they drafted a couple of years ago. He's got some pass rush juice inside. And so they are capable of kind of beating you with a four-man rush. You look at the linebackers, you got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the guy from Notre Dame that everyone was super high on. He plays with his hair on fire. Devin Bush, right? Jordan Hicks, that second level of defense is doing a great job, man. They absolutely ripped to the football. Grant Delpit is the free safety, and he's a big, strong, physical guy, kind of in the mold of like a Jeremy Chinn type guy, kind of a box player, but maybe a little bit more athletic, more coverage upside. He wears number 9, Owusu-Koramoah wears number 6, and the way they run to the football is awesome. And and you're like, man, this front's good. On first and second down, they struggle a little bit, stopping the run sometimes. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because Dalvin Tomlinson's one of the best defensive tackles in football at stopping the run, and he flashes quite a bit. But Shelby Harris, their three technique, is a little up and down. So, and if you get to the second level on this defense, like Owosu-Koramoro is basically like a safety. Grant Delpit's playing in the box a lot. He is a safety. So they have a hard time. I will say the one thing that really jumps out to you is when they get you in a second and 10, third and 10, watch out, because they are very, very opportunistic in those moments. And what I mean by that is I went and watched all their third downs from the first four games, and it's almost like clockwork. It's like second and 12, and who's getting a sack fumble? Miles Garrett. Or, hey, we're playing the Dallas Cowboys, and it's a close ball game, and Miles Garrett forces you up in the pocket, and Owosu-Koramoro blitzes, and the ball's out. They're really, really good in those situations because they create so much pressure. To your point, when you watch them in the back end, they're not as consistent as they were last year, and it's really hurt them. Like Martin Emerson is struggling a little bit. Obviously, Denzel Ward, is doing a really nice job on the other side, but Emerson struggled. He's given up a lot of explosive plays, and so there is opportunity there, but the margin for error is much, much smaller than we saw against Arizona, than we saw against Cincinnati. Cincinnati were like, man, they play really good coverage structures and they have one good pass rusher. We were talking about Arizona bringing complicated blitzes. Here, there's four or five talented pass rushers and they're pretty creative in their blitz schemes. And so if you're not locked in up front and you're in a bad down and distance, they're gonna get you. They've gotten everybody they've played this year at some point. So I look at Washington and I say, that's in some ways that's good because they've been hyper efficient out of staying out of third and longs, right? Jay, we talked about how good Jaden's been at staying out of those situations, picking the right moments to scramble. So there's a lot of really positive things there. And then the other thing is that I would point out is they in these pressures, they like to play a lot of man coverage behind it. Mm-hmm. Do they do that versus Jaden Daniels? Because you watch the Jacksonville game, for example, and Trevor Lawrence scrambles for 40 yards on a pressure where they're very good at containing the passer. There's a little crease and he runs for 40 yards and Jaden Daniels is going to score a touchdown on that. So this is who they are. Stay out of third and 10. Are they going to shift what they do because of Jaden Daniels' running ability? I think probably a little bit. I think they probably run a little bit more zone pressure, but they're at their core. In those long passing situations, they are there to eat you up and heat up the passer. So the number one thing offensively for me, for Cliff, for Jaden, is how do you stay out of those obvious passing situations? And it is more important this week than any other week they've played so far this season.
No, totally agree. I don't know how much they're going to change because that's not just – like Jim Schwartz is Jim Schwartz. Like this dude's been around forever and he is a man blitz, like cover zero, like let's get after it kind of guy. Now, sometimes he's got more exotic stuff in his back. Maybe I should give him more credit than that, but like, he's going to be aggressive. The question is how, and maybe he does zone it up a little bit more on the back end, but it's actually the man cover stuff where I think that Jaden could be really dangerous, not as a runner, but as a thrower. In watching some of these pressures and some of these situations, there are a ton of opportunities missed by quarterback inaccuracy. Like the back end coverage is not sticky. There's some, like, obviously, like there's plenty of plays you can find where it's real good. But the way that Jaden has thrown the football this year and his accuracy and just the precision and the timing and everything that he's had, if he hits guys in stride, you're going to have serious yak. You're going to have major explosive plays. And it's not just going to be, you know, down the field. And I will say, I think there's opportunities down the field. You know, some of the stuff that we saw against Cincinnati and some of the stuff that we saw at LSU, frankly, some of these box fades, one-on-one coverage, like Cliff will tighten down the splits, give more room to the sideline and like, hey, it's one-on-one coverage. We know it. Let's let it rip. Like some of these throws are the ones that Jaden has lived on. And then you add in the quick game stuff and the accuracy. And I think that there's huge opportunity. That said, he's got to do it with guys in his face and pressure and a muddy pocket and guys around his feet in a way that I don't know that he's had to really do in the NFL. So this is a test. Like if he can merely do what he's done so far, he could throw for 400 yards, but the test is nowhere close to what he's had so far. The test is going to be much, much more difficult, I think. And I do think that, like, forget guys around, you know, his face, if you will, how does he do with guys around his feet? That is something that I know is a kind of a question coming into the year. And I think they've done a relatively good job of making sure that he hasn't had to deal with that a whole ton. You know, if he's going to make the throws like he did to Luke last week, where he just backs up and then rips one, you know, off platform, sick. But I think that that is kind of going to be the test and some of the adversity that he faces this week in terms of trying to stay even 90, 85% as accurate as he has been, because expecting him to complete 85% of his passes every week is a ludicrous level of expectation.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the team that he struggled most with this year, and again, it's his first game, is Tampa Bay, and they heated him up a little bit. And this is a different type of pressure because they have different type of athletes. And I think Tampa Bay did a great job against the Commanders in terms of bringing pressure. And Jane did a really good job of handling it as a runner. How does he handle it as a passer? I think is another kind of step to that. And it's a different front. Like, they're pretty good up front. And I think that's something that I'm really curious to see, is because when you look at Arizona, when you look at Cincinnati, there's not a lot of people around them. They did a really good job of keeping clean pockets. And he's shown an ability, and I'm not distracting from this in any way. Like, it's awesome that he can make throws. He can do that from the pocket, but it's a different animal when you're under pressure, because that's something, like you said, they talked about his, when he was being pressured, his completion percentage goes way down. His desire to throw seems to go way down. So what does that look like in this game? And what is Kliff's plan to stop that? Because like I said, they're not great on first and second down. They're okay on first and second down. They play with their hair on fire. They're physical, but there are creases. And when you watch the Giants game, when you watch the Las Vegas game specifically, they had one of the worst EPAs per rushes in the NFL, and they're gashing these 25-yard runs kind of out of nowhere. And when you watch Las Vegas prior to that, it just wasn't on the film. So obviously they're having a little bit of an issue stopping the run as well. But there's so many things with this defense, because I actually like watching their defense. And I know statistically they're not super efficient. I think they're like 17th in points or whatever. I think one of the big reasons that they're having a hard time is because the offense is struggling and they're on the field way more than I think they want to be. And they're not in game flows that they're accustomed to being in, where they can just rush the passer and get after you. So I think if that's another way, you know, obviously we talk about running the football, quick game, play pass. Screens are going to be huge in this game. They've been very successful against them all season. But if you can get a more positive game flow, again, you're up by 10 and you can kind of hold that lead, you're going to really mitigate what that front does well. And so scoring points early is going to be a big deal. But yeah, it's going to be maybe one of the most interesting tests of the year, I think, for Jaden, just because of they kind of attack what people think he doesn't do well. And that's part of their DNA. And to your point about Schwartz, like, yeah, they're going to play a lot of man. They're going to play a lot of zero, or they have. But he also, because he is this attacking pressure style, they run a lot of zone pressures too. So maybe they kind of lean more into that as opposed to the man stuff to account for what Jaden does with his legs. But I think that's going to be a really interesting chess match. And it's kind of one of those things where for Kliff, he knows who Jim Schwartz wants to be. Jim Schwartz knows who Kliff wants to be. How do they adapt to the adaptation of the other person? I think it's going to be really, really compelling in this game also.
Yeah. So let's focus on the thing that might actually be the bigger story then. Because like, we all talk about Jaden in the past game and all that kind of stuff. But like, I think they probably come out and try to run the hell out of the football. Like, yeah. I just pulled up the Next Gen Stats preview on NFL Pro, and it gives you just like an overall passing efficiency, overall rushing efficiency, pressure rate, and its advantage, you know, to either side. It's got a 5-star advantage to Washington in the rushing efficiency category.
Yeah.
Washington is number 2 in the NFL in overall rushing efficiency. The Browns defense is 20th in rushing efficiency. So I think I agree. Like, you're going to throw a bunch of pressure on second down, well, let's loft the ball over your head screen style and like, let's get out. And Austin Ekeler on track to play per Dan Quinn on Wednesday. So that is obviously huge if you can get him back and turn some explosive plays in the screen game. But rushing the football, how would you attack this group? And do you think Washington can continue being as successful as they have? Or, you know, is there stuff that Cleveland can pretty easily clean up and get fixed?
Yeah, I think the thing about Cleveland that it reminds me a little bit of Cincinnati. And, you know, it's like everyone's like, oh, we got to run the ball versus Cincinnati. And our rushing efficiency in that game specifically outside of the Austin Ekeler big run was not great. They play in a very similar style. They are fast to the football. They're physical. I think they're bigger and more physical up front than any team we've played outside of Tampa Bay this year. So I think what is the wrinkle this week? We talked about versus Arizona, how Cliff and Anthony Lynn did a great job of creating kind of some new stuff for them to look at, some new fits for them to kind of deal with. And I think that's the thing that's super important, because Owusu-Koramoah, the Grant Delpit, Devin Bush, they are fast to the football. They're fast downhill, and they have to be because they're not very big. And we just mentioned Dalvin Tomlinson. Like, he's excellent. He's excellent. So you got to kind of account for all those different pieces. However, when there is a crease and the linebackers get up to the second level, they're not big linebackers. They're not big guys. So you can move them off the spot and you can create a crease. It's just, what is that wrinkle? Because I don't think if you run, you know, one of our most successful runs or one of the Commanders' most successful runs this year has been the play side guard center pull to the front side of the run. I think that fits in what they really want to do well, which is run fast to the football, box it in, and kind of run sideline to sideline. I think you want to think more attacking downhill, more vertical runs, and obviously you want to sprinkle in both, but I would expect the emphasis to shift a little bit, because when you look at the runs that have been successful, it's been we're going to run right at you, and we're going to make you stop, we're going to make you fit these runs, and we're going to be a little bit more physical. We're going to negate your athleticism a little bit. So I think that's something I would expect to see. And then the changeup be what you described, like the perimeter runs, the screen games, get outside, and because they're so used to running downhill, you've created space horizontally. And Cliff's done a great job of that, of having a great feel for that, no matter the opponent. I think when you look at New York Giants, for example, obviously Dexter Lawrence is one of the best defensive tackles in football, and they came out with a ton of perimeter screens early, and then they've kind of earned the right later in the game to attack the interior because they had displaced people. So Cliff, I trust him to come up with an excellent plan because he's shown the ability to do that, but I think the wrinkle this week will be really interesting. I would probably attack downhill first and then work the perimeter second. But, you know, Cliff's a smarter guy than me, so can't wait to see what he does.
Well, I think you could also look at some of the misdirection stuff that they've done and be like, can you get those guys running fast the wrong way? And that's
because they do that, run. They will run fast the wrong way. They will do that.
So Cliff's been so good with misdirection. It was funny talking to Schlereth because he talked about that first play against Cincinnati where they pulled guys away from the play and then countered back with Eckler and got a huge gain or 8 yard gain, like basically untouched because guys just ran away from the play. And Mark was like, I pulled that for Cliff because I wanted to ask him. He's like, I don't know what to call this. Like, I've never seen this. What is this? And Mark's, you know, a former offensive lineman that's been, you know, and now an analyst for 20 years, you know, played for Mike Shanahan, you know, knows the run game inside and out, played for Joe Gibbs, knows the run game pretty darn well. And he's like, I've never seen this and I have no idea what it is and I don't even know what to call it. So there definitely is, when it comes to coming up with wrinkles, you know, Cliff's certainly got a few in his bag. And then obviously the quarterback run game, I think, is the other part of this, right? Like, that's a way you can use aggressiveness against people is like, hey, you get really aggressive, stop in B-Rob. Well, Jaden's going to pull one and get to the outside. So I think that's definitely going to be interesting as well.
Yeah. And again, I don't know how effective the quarterback run game is, because if they play it well, Za'Darius Smith's a beast, you know, as a run defender.
And I also don't want to leave Myles Garrett unblocked on principle.
Yeah, just that's something I would kind of just be like, if they are going to do a lot of quarterback run stuff, how do they get to that? Like, what's the plan to make that more efficient? Because like you said, they're athletically on the edge pretty gosh darn good. I mean, Myles Garrett, watching him is very fun and very special because there's no other athlete like him in the NFL. And there's no other athlete that was playing when I was playing. It's for the last 20 years, there's been nobody that I've seen that's been that plays.
You mean there's not a lot of dudes walking around that are 6'5", 295, have 40-inch verticals and 4.4 40s?
No, there's not a lot of people like that, Craig, surprisingly. and so, yeah, on principle, I'm like, I don't know if I want Jaden Daniels trying to zone read that guy because he could easily play both. So to your point, what's the wrinkle to make? Because that's been a big part of the offense. So what's the wrinkle this week to make sure that Jaden does get his touches in the run game? You know, they've been pretty good about giving him, you know, 4 to 5 design rushes. The rest have been scrambles. But what does that look like this week? I think it's going to be really important. Maybe you run a little bit more kind of GT stuff with him, which you saw versus Tampa Bay, because you're actually blocking that edge player and you can kind of get a jet sweep action away. We'll see. I'm really, again, because of the front, I'm really curious to see how they attack it. Obviously, you're going to do what you do well, which is you're going to run the ball, you're going to run the runs you feel comfortable with. But I do think there will be an interesting wrinkle just to account for some of the athleticism and size that the Cleveland Brown front presents.
Yeah. The other thing that I'll say real quick, I am curious personnel as well, because, you know, if Cleveland's a little smaller on the second level, you know, Washington's done so well out of 13 personnel. Can guys like Bates and Sinnott, and to an extent, Zach Ertz, like, can they be solutions there? Like, they're great blockers who are also really mobile. And so that seems like it would be a pretty good way to maybe combat some of what Cleveland does. Also see, can you get some of those guys off the field in favor of different personnel that you maybe like a little bit better if they go a little heavier? So that's something to watch. Cliff playing the personnel game, which he's played masterfully all year long. All right, if you want the rest of Take Command, which includes a discussion that Logan was very keen on having, which was, how does Washington handle the pressure that comes with all the attention that they've gotten, as well as obviously the other side of the ball, the Washington defense versus the Browns offense? You can check out Take Command wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Anytime before game time will do. If you're going to the game, you want to save it for the ride there, that's fine. Also in the Take Command feed, if you missed our chat with Mark Schlereth on this show earlier in the week, we popped that in the Take Command feed as well. It's the same conversation, but if you're like, dang, I meant to catch that, and now there's 40 podcast episodes because of how we do our podcast in your podcast feed on the Hoffman Show, and you just don't want to scroll as far, then just go to the Take Command one, and you can listen to it there. It's right at the top because we put it in today. Did that for you. Yeah, right. Yeah, you, Mark, Jim, Bob. What was your name? Peter? Yeah. What? Whoever. Samantha? Samantha's always late on the podcast, Matt.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's okay, Samantha. We're actually making life easier for you, Sammy. By the way, that conversation with Logan was really interesting because he was on that 2012 team, obviously, and he talked about the confidence that team has, and it's something that I'm curious about for this team. Like, they obviously, I think people are buying in. They feel really good. I don't know that they're, like, brimming over with confidence. I don't think they feel like they're unbeatable in a way that, like, that 2012 team was. I also don't know that that's a bad thing. I think that the humility and, like, the more sustainable approach week in, week out is probably good versus, like, a... we are rolling. Nobody can beat us. You want supreme confidence that you're going to figure it out. You don't want to panic, but that can work both ways. And I think where this team is at now from a mentality standpoint is really good. But again, as we've said, I feel like almost too much today, they haven't really faced any adversity yet. So what happens when they do? And I think that's a huge lingering question for this team. So are we going to pick them? That's one of the questions we're going to answer. Not next, but we're going to pick every other game. We will make our picks before the end of the show. We will pick players from this game, our pick six. Matt, you haven't done a pick six in a long time. I think you did one or two last year. I think you did wind up filling in for Anthony on a Friday.
Yeah, it's been a minute, though.
But I can remind you how it works. It'll be okay. Up next, we're going to say games. And there's going to be two teams, and you're going to pick one that you think is going to win. I do have Anthony's picks as well. So we will go around the NFL picks and analysis, then our pick six, all still to come in the back half of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Did I zoom in my camera on accident? It's like my head looks gigantic on that screen. Let's not do that. Coming up at 6 p.m., our pick six at six. We will pick six players from the Commanders-Browns game who we think are going to be most impactful on the outcome, who we're most interested in watching. So we will get to that and do that coming up at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, it is time to go around the NFL. And I will say last night, that was rough for me. I didn't watch the game. I just picked it and then lived with the result, Matt. But Kirk and Baker, they put on a show offensively. You got a 30 burgers on either side. And if Atlanta, I did watch the end back. Tampa just fudges with the end of the game a little bit. No delay of game. Just, oh, I'm in the ref's way. Oh, darn. Oh, I'm laying on Drake London a little bit. They win the game. End of game execution. In soccer, they would call this bleephousery. Poohousery, if you will.
I get it.
Yeah. There was no housery. The Bucks needed some housery.
In that entire game, and especially it, towards the end, they had complete control. I mean, you're up by, at that point, was it 14 points?
Yeah, they were also like up some, either a touchdown or a field goal with a first and 10 with 1:44 to go in regulation, I think, and lost.
Oh, they got the ball back. I mean, there was turnovers at the end. I would say that both teams towards the end got a little bit too sloppy with the ball. And thankfully for Atlanta, that ended up working out for them. But that was a game that Tampa had complete control over the entire time. And based off of just not great execution, a couple bad plays in the red zone that ended up with them coming away with a field goal instead of a touchdown. And all of a sudden, now you have an overtime loss to the Falcons, which I'm with you. I actually had Tampa Bay winning that one also. So we're both upset over here.
Yeah, it's not great. I thoroughly did not enjoy that, but alas, watching it back and realizing what was happening. But alas, that is what happened, and we live with the result. Now, we also, I guess we get rewarded, though, this weekend because we have the first London game on the schedule for the year. Hello! Vikings and Jets is the matchup. Sauce Gardner learned today that they drive on the other side of the streets in Britain. Perhaps that is something that you will hear in Real Things. If you want storylines here, you have Sam Darnold going up against the Jets, which is saucy, no pun intended. But this is, of course, the team that drafted him, the team where things did not get off to a good start. Although he has never lost to the Jets. I did see that stat earlier today. 9:30 a.m. kickoff on NFL Network. The 4-0 Vikings are favored by 2. Who you got, Maddie?
Oh, got to go with the Vikings. I mean, you want to hope that the Jets are able to turn it around. I mean, we've seen a lack of, I feel like we've seen a major lack of offensive production in general. And when you have someone like Aaron Rodgers behind center, you got to assume at some point that offense is opening up. But just with how Justin Jefferson, how Sam Darnold have been, you can't look at that offense. And especially in a situation where it's overseas, so there's going to be some tomfoolery with some people not getting enough sleep, not feeling great. It is what it is. That's what happens with jet lag. That's why they got there a couple days early. But someone's not still not going to feel it.
Yeah, I struggle with this. I would pick the Vikings probably, I won't say easily, but definitely if this game was in the United States, even if it was in New York. But the London thing is just a total wrench in the equation. I do feel like Kevin O'Connell is the type of guy to be locked in on like what the best practices are in a way that maybe Robert Saleh does not strike me as being quite as detail-oriented. Also, I think Minnesota's defense, the pressure that they're getting, Rodgers is like,
I worry because Rodgers is great at seeing through that stuff. He is so on top of every blitz that's coming. And, you know, I've told these stories before on the air, but I remember talking to, like, Cole Holcomb back when I was on the beat, whenever Cole was here, and they were playing Green Bay. And Cole's a rookie, and, you know, he's out there calling the signals, and he's trying to hold his disguises. And Rodgers is just like, bro, you're coming. Like, he knew he was blitzing. He's like, I'm just standing here. How do you know? Like, what the hell? He's a wizard at that stuff. And so for a team that relies on a lot of simulated pressures and making pressure come from where you don't expect it, if Rodgers slides the line the right way and gets that thing locked up, that seems to make Minnesota's defense less effective. With that said, Flores has been super aggressive. Rodgers isn't as mobile as he used to be. Garrett Wilson is not having the best year. I guess I'm going to go Minnesota. But also, I'm like, are the Vikings a 5-0 caliber football team? Sometimes I play that game. I don't know. I'm going to try not to overthink it. I think I'll be more mad if the Vikings win and I pick the Jets than I will the other way around. So I'm just going to take the Minnesota Vikings for my own mentals. And Anthony has the Jets, so I should have just gone with that theory that take whoever Anthony does it, even though he beat me last week. Panthers and Bears, Chicago, 4-point favorites at home. Carolina has looked way better since Andy Dalton took over for Bryce Young. However, they still are not that great. The Bears have been very up and down. They're starting to figure a few things out offensively. Defensively, they have made plays, and that's been the biggest thing. You know, they can turn the football over, and I do think that that probably is a relative factor here. I'm going to take Chicago, but I honestly do not feel great about it. And there's a part of me that wishes on competition Wednesday, when we pick a couple games against the spread, that I would have taken Carolina plus the four.
I'm with you on that, and I think that we're in a weird situation with this game because you have Carolina, who's on the upswing, really definitely looking like they're becoming a better team without having Bryce Young in center. They actually seem to have some kind of direction, but I don't think that their offense, even with like better quarterback play, can really take on this Bears defense. I think that it's a situation where it's two teams that really need to prove something. Bears have the ability to stop Carolina. I don't know if Carolina can stop.
Yeah, I think that it was interesting. Dave Canales said this week, of course, the Panthers head coach, like, our offense runs through Deontay Johnson. Okay, well, the Bears have Jalen Johnson, who's one of the best corners in football, and like legitimately could just follow Deontay Johnson around and do as good of a job on him as basically anybody. It's like him, Sauce Gardner, like a couple other corners that you might throw in that bag, but he's like legit blue chip shutdown guy. He had the game sealing interception last week against the Rams, one that floated to him after Stafford got hit but still made the play. I just think that with that ability to like make them do other things, that they're probably going to be fine defensively. Like, this game's probably going to be ugly. I don't know that defensively Carolina's bad enough that Caleb Williams is all of a sudden going to look great, but he has started to figure some things out. They also, they as a team, like, deleveraged him more last week than they have. And so I'm going to take Chicago. I don't feel great about it. Anthony took Chicago as well. So we are all on the Bears. By the way, someone's got to write these down. Matt, do you want to take notes here, or do you want me to take notes?
I'll take some notes.
Okay. Just make sure Anthony can find them, because we keep track of our records. Do you guys do picks on your show?
Yes, we do. And actually, fun fact about that. Last week, I went 12-4 with the picks.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing. Our show picks, in order to add a little bit of spice to it, because it's myself, Chris, Doc, and Linnell.
Yes.
I pick with a coin. Heads for home, tails for away. I went 12-14 last week.
12-4. That's
12-4. That's one.
That's,
yeah.
That's incredible. Anthony was like had one of his best weeks ever at like 11-5. And you did better with a literal coin. I went 8-8, so I can't really say much about last week, although I'm still up on the year. All right, Ravens and Bengals, Baltimore 2.5-point road favorites here. And oh man, like Cincinnati definitely has looked a lot better the last couple of weeks. You get T. Higgins back, you know, Jamar's worked his way back into shape. Burrow looks like Burrow. You know, they're putting up serious points. It was against Washington. It was against Carolina. And Baltimore's defense is a completely different animal. But I think the Bengals' defense has really struggled, and they specifically struggled to stop the run. I mean, they did an okay job against Washington because they gave up everything else. And so if you're telling me like you're going to try to make a dynamic Baltimore offense one-dimensional, like good luck. And the way they ran the football last week against Buffalo, who had previously been one of the best teams in the league, like this does feel like the kind of game that sometimes Baltimore just drops the ball. And that's like, that's my fear, is on the road in Cincy, division rival, you know, Bengals probably the more desperate team. Do they drop one here? And if they did, by the way, somehow both teams would be 2-3. But I do think the Ravens will get it done. I'll take Baltimore.
I'm with you on that. Baltimore, I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but any team that the Commanders can really prove a weakness in their defense, i.e. the Bengals' run defense, you know that that's a severe deficit for a team. You have Derrick Henry, you have Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I know that there's going to be more to the game, and I know that the energy in Cincinnati is going to be crazy because it is the rivalry that it is, and there's going to be energy, and you have to assume Joe Burrow coming into this game not having the best season so far is like, I need to step up. But
it's funny because you say that, yet he's almost got 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and a pick.
I guess, yeah, it's not really him, it's his team. But
yeah, they have not had a good year. I mean, it was just, week one was not good. Week two, they were better. That was the week they played the Chiefs and lost. Obviously, Washington puts up a billion points on them in week three. Then they go out and beat Carolina in week four. So, I don't know, man. Like, it still feels like sometimes you just have bad seasons, even though you don't play. If the Bengals come out of this 1-4 after a close loss to Baltimore, then they're going to be one of the best 1-4 teams we've ever seen, because they will have lost a close one in Kansas City. They put up 33 and lost against Washington. And then they will have lost a close one to Baltimore. But, like, they're still 1-4, so in the playoff picture, that doesn't really help them that much. But I still just don't think the Bengals are bad. You want bad football? I give to you Dolphins-Patriots. By the way, Anthony on Baltimore as well. Dolphins and Patriots. Miami is a one-point favorite against a floundering Patriots team. Remember, they beat Cincinnati in week one and have lost three straight since. They were completely uncompetitive against the 49ers last week. Meanwhile, the Dolphins are coming off a loss to the Tennessee Titans. Who wins this game? Nobody. Who has more points by the end of it? New England?
It's times like this where I'm very happy that I use the coin, because I'm just going to defer to the coin for this one. And Miami?
Okay, sure. I'll take New England. Anthony's also on New England. That makes me kind of want to take Miami, but I'm going to take New England at home, because I actually think that like they're better than what they have. Although there was that report, I know Russell talked about this in his Dumb Dumb of the Day today at the end of the show. Like, there's the report from the Patriots team reporter, and I don't really care as much, at least for the point I'm about to make, about the fact that they had take this podcast down because he was like, there's about to be a mutiny in the locker room. I care about the fact that he reported there's about to be a mutiny in the locker room. I don't know whether it's Jacoby versus Drake May, and maybe May's playing a lot better in practice, but the organization's trying to protect him because the offensive line stinks. So, man, that's just, we're not going to talk about it anymore. It's a bad football game. I'm going to pick the Patriots and hold my nose and hopefully not watch an ounce of it because I'll be at Northwest Stadium. Colts and Jags. Jags 3-point favorites at home over the Colts, even though the Jags have not won a game so far this year. Anthony's on the Colts here, unsurprisingly, with his boys. Matt, what do you say? What did the coin say?
Coin said Colts. I'm also on Colts. I think that Jacksonville just has shown that it's not a good team.
No.
Anthony Richardson is he still out, actually? I got to be honest.
He's questionable. No determination has been made as of yet. So I think technically he's being listed as questionable, but he might not play. Like, honestly, I kind of wish I knew. Because, like, if Flacco's playing, I almost feel better about it because there's less variability.
I would think that a Flacco-led Colts, not easily, but I would say that is I'm more willing to put my money on that. Anthony Richardson's ability to do the craziest throws in existence and then not make a little screen is baffling.
It's wild. Here's the thing. Jonathan Taylor is out for Indy. I'm just going to go stinky fish theory. There's no way Jacksonville. There's no way that Jacksonville should be favored by 3 in this game. They're begging you to take Indy, so don't do it. I'm just going to take Jacksonville. There's no good football reason. I guess if I wanted to come up with a football reason, like Trevor Lawrence is still good. Dan Pizzuto was awesome on this with us yesterday from the 33rd team of how this offense is just so tremendously poorly designed. They just are trying to do way, way too much for Lawrence. But at home, you know, he's starting to click on a couple of things. Maybe they can do it. Colts are flying high after an upset win over Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'll take the Jags, and if I'm wrong, Zaire can yell at me. Bills and Texans. Houston favored by 1 at home here. Buffalo coming off a nasty loss on Sunday Night Football to Baltimore. They just got absolutely dump trucked. I think they bounced back. There's something that's off with the Texans, man. I don't know what it is. I mean, Stroud's been okay this year. He's got over 1,000 yards, so he's definitely been prolific. But 6 TDs, 2 picks. Nico Collins has been awesome. But I don't know. I think the vibes in Buffalo generally are good. If they get housed again, then maybe that changes. And there's something off about the Texans where they haven't performed, even though they've won. I'm going to say Buffalo bounces back and gets the win here.
Feel like I'm just copying everything that you're saying. Maybe it's because we work in sports talk and seem to have similar opinions, but I'm with you. It's Buffalo. Houston this entire season has played decently, but very much we all know watching last year, there was an it factor. There was an electricity. There was an energy zip to the ball. That doesn't feel like it's there this year. Doesn't mean, maybe not there, but it's not to the same extent.
No, they're still trying to figure out how to fit all the pieces together. The running game hasn't been nearly as good. They've been a little sloppy at times offensively. And defensively, they haven't been quite as dominant, but their defense has obviously played well. And that's kept them in games and ultimately won 3 of their 4 games. So I don't know. It's part of it's the expectations, but I just think Buffalo can go in there and put up some points. Good weather, a whole deal down there in Houston. Raiders and Broncos. By the way, Anthony is on the Texans for that one. Raiders and Broncos. Denver -3 in this one. Their defense looks like it's pretty good. Davante Adams, by the way, has been ruled out of this game. I don't know whether that's hamstring or trade request, but either way, he is out. The Broncos, every time I want to believe that they've turned some type of corner, whether it's good or bad, then look like make me look silly. So I'm just going to guess here. I did this on Competition Wednesday. I said Vegas +3. I'm going to say Vegas wins it outright. This seems like the kind of thing where, like, Antonio Pierce has a show me game where they're like, he gets in there, they don't think we can win without Devontae. Like, let's show them what's up, blah, 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 blah. And they go out there and, you know, they get it done. This game's probably going to be real ugly. The Broncos defense is good, but their offense is a yikes. I got no good reason to pick Vegas. Actually, I don't even know why I am. I should probably pick Denver and just eat the law, you know. It's some level of a hedge slash eating my loss on Competition Wednesday. I don't need the 3 points. Fine, maybe I'll get a cover here. I'll take Denver at home in an ugly win. Just I talk myself out of it. I'm taking Denver,
and I'm taking Las Vegas. And this is purely from a much like many Commanders fans refuse to pick Dallas for just the status, not really because they just don't believe that Dallas is going to win. I can't get behind this Denver team. I think that organizationally, it feels like they're constantly just rotating, trying to figure out. It feels very Commandersy, old school. And because of that, I can't get behind Denver.
No,
I feel like defensively
they've been legitimately good for most of the year. So I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to go Denver.
Wasn't it 63 yards last week?
Yeah, it was something terrible. The Jets. I mean, there was a lot of factors.
I mean, they won that game, but 63 offensive yards.
Yeah, it was bad. I think what's his name? Bo Nix started like 0 of 7 from or like seven for whatever for minus 7 yards. He had seven completions for negative yardage. I remember that at one point in the game. Cardinals, 49ers, San Francisco, 7.5-point favorites. I will take them at home. Purdy's playing great ball. Mason's playing good ball. Obviously, they're still waiting to get McCaffrey back, but Debo and Kittle back in the lineup last week. Cardinals, obviously coming off their tough loss to the Commanders. I do think this game, this could be an Arizona cover here, minus 7.5, but I do think San Francisco will find a way to win.
Yeah, so, I don't feel like I need to say anything more. San Francisco, Cardinals, we've witnessed what they are. San Francisco is just a better built team.
I mean, it's funny because the Rams beat the 49ers a couple weeks ago. The Cardinals absolutely destroyed the Rams. And here we are being like, hey, A beat B, B beat C, so C is going to beat A.
Well, I mean, but NFL is nothing but parity.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. That's actually what scares me about this game, because San Francisco should win running away, but should doesn't exist in the NFL. Speaking of, Packers visiting the Rams, Green Bay 3-point road favorites against Matt Stafford and company. Stafford really struggled last week to get going against the Bears, had that interception at the end that we referenced earlier when we were talking about Chicago. I never feel good picking against the Rams, even though I know they're not a great football team, that they're really suffering from having two 100-plus catch caliber receivers in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua on IR. But I do think also the Packers are really good. And you know, it's going to be interesting because these two teams know each other really well. Like LaFleur and McVay come from that same Shanahan tree, of course, that we all know they were here in 2012 together. And that kind of way of thinking about football is going to be interesting to see match up against each other. But ultimately, I just think the Packers are better and have better players, even though, you know, Jordan Love is probably not 100% yet.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say the coin betrayed me here. The coin said that the Rams were going to win, but I'm with you.
Maybe the coin knows better, though.
Oh, well, I mean, very well could, but I think that Green Bay is going to win. Rams are just, they're injured. And it's one of those things that when you have the injury bug and you're going up against a good team, especially a good team that's coming into their own and finding their identity, it's very difficult to overcome that.
Yeah. Giants and Seahawks. Seahawks favored by 7. Giants have to travel across the country. They're not very good. The Seahawks are good. Give me Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle.
Okay. By the way, the last couple of games, Anthony was on the Niners, Packers, and Seahawks, unless I misread, and he took a... No, he did not take a big swing the other way. Okay, Matt. I felt terrible on Wednesday picking, but I did it anyway. I don't really know why still. The Cowboys plus the 2.5, Pittsburgh. Straight up, I think I'm still going to take the Steelers, but I do think this is going to be an interesting game. The thing that scares me about my pick is what happens if Pittsburgh just absolutely runs the mess out of the ball against this Dallas team, which is possible and doable, as we've seen some this year. Obviously, we saw similar personnel, different scheme last year. But I just think Dak can keep this thing close. Like, got to find a way to block T.J. Watt. Much easier said than done. He's wrecked many of football games. But I think Dak has been pretty good in primetime games. They'll find ways to get the ball out of his hands. And I think this one could be a fun Sunday nighter. Obviously, a very, very old-school rivalry. NBC promos this week have been great. The harkening back to the 70s, and these teams match it up in Super Bowls. But... I will take Pittsburgh straight up on Sunday night in a Mike Tomlin gritted out special.
I'm going to go against my instinct and say Dallas. I think that Pittsburgh so far this season has obviously played well. I mean, 3-1, you can't say that that's a bad record. But I think that when it comes to the teams that were 3-0, they were far and away the biggest pretender. And I think that you have Dallas that really has a chip on its shoulder, has something to prove, and it is Sunday night football, which is something that they love down there. I know it's in Pittsburgh, but that's a Dallas tradition, Sunday night football.
Yeah, Dak has been pretty good in a lot of these primetime games. Also been some blunders, but they've had some good performances. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We'll see. That's Sunday nighter. And then Saints-Chiefs on Monday night football. Kansas City, 5.5-point favorites. Mahomes, by the way, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks on the year. Obviously, no Rashee Rice for the rest of the year. Travis Kelce got going a little bit in the last one. I'll take Kansas City at home because I have no trust in New Orleans. But if New Orleans goes out and plays well, it will not surprise me. I just think that like offensively, they've obviously come way back down to earth. And I think specifically the way the Chiefs play defensively and all the experience they have against these Shanahan style systems, which obviously New Orleans with Clint Kubiak comes from, that they know how to play this offense and they'll be just fine.
Yeah, and it's really, you mentioned it a couple times today, but I've heard it over the past week, but the Chiefs are winning not because of Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are winning because their defense is absolutely fantastic right now, and Patrick Mahomes will still be Patrick Mahomes, and at some point it's going to turn on and he's going to have good games, but they are playing at a rate that is completely sustainable. I feel like you got to give it to the Chiefs.
Yeah, for sure. They just found ways to win. And by the way, Anthony had the Chiefs in this game, Steelers in the Sunday Nighter. So we'll see how we did at 5:30 on Monday. Up next, pick six time. Six players that we have our eyes on in this matchup this weekend. Matty gets three. I get three. We'll get our first three in next on the Team 980. WNBA playoffs tonight. You got the Aces and Liberty at 9:30. Aces lose their quest for a three-peat, and their season is over. The Minnesota-Connecticut series before that one tied at 1, 7:30 on ESPN2. This weekend, Washington will be without wide receiver Noah Brown. The Commanders announcing today that they will have no Brown and no Cleveland Furl. However, Brian Robinson is on track to play, according to Dan Quinn, should officially be listed as questionable. But Robinson listed himself on Twitter with a thumbs up emoji, and we all know that's more official than anything the team puts out. That's what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.